For more than 1,000 years, Rome has celebrated its anniversary on April 21, and that's today. Its year of founding is traditionally in the year 753 BC, making it one of the oldest cities of the world that is still in existence. And it is today, we know, the capital of Italy and understandably its most important tourist attraction. In the New Testament, Rome looms prominently in its narratives because it was the period of the Roman Empire. Ang siyudad ng Roma, ang lungsod ng Roma ay malaki ang bahagi sa mga salaysay ng Bagong Tipan sapagkat nang isulat ang Bagong Tipan, ito ay panahon ng imperyo ng Roma at ang pinakaprominenteng lungsod sa buong imperyo ay siyempre ang Kapitolyo nila sa lungsod ng Roma. So it figures prominently in the New Testament pages and it will figure prominently in the personal history of one of the characters of the New Testament, and that is the Apostle Paul. Paul wanted to conclude his ministry or his missionary career by going to Rome. He wanted to make it his base for his final work pushing towards Spain. At least that was the plan. But as it happened, Paul will indeed reach Rome, but not in the way he planned. He reached Rome not as a missionary, but as a prisoner. But it is in this sad ending that we will see the importance of one of the friends of the apostle. We began this series of those people that touched the life of the apostle Paul. They are part of his story, and there are lessons that we can learn from those various people that touched the life of the Apostle Paul. We are drawing lessons that remain relevant to the ministry and mission of the church. Marami tayong matututunan ng mga aral na matimbang ukol sa mga ministeryo at misyon ng iglesia. We no longer have an Apostle Paul. In fact, we no longer have an apostle at all. And yet, the ministry and the mission of the word perpetuate. And therefore, the people, the sort of people that were used in order to serve and to help assist the apostle would be precious lessons for us. What sort of people touched and contributed to the ministry and mission of Paul? Those are the same sorts of people that we can expect will contribute to the ministry and mission of the church today. From Priscilla and Aquila, for example, we learn that Christian availability is a precious favor for the ministry of the church. And last week, we looked at the faithful partner of Paul in the person of Silas, and we learned that willingness to suffer is the call of commitment to the ministry. We will look at another such very loyal companion of the apostle. And again, I will have three passages to use, but very brief ones. First, turn your Bibles to Acts 16. Acts 16, we'll read from verse 5 to verse 13. Acts 16, beginning verse 5 to verse 13. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Then verse 11, so setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Then turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. Just this one text. Colossians 4 verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. And my final text is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 2 Timothy 4, verses 10 and 11. For Demas, in love with his present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Now we see here Paul's affectionate reference to Luke as the beloved physician. Minamahal niyang manggagamot, at sa kanyang paggamit ng ganyang pagkilala kay Lucas ay masasabi natin na may malalim na pagmamahalan itong si Pablo at Lucas bilang magkasama, bilang magkaibigan, at siyempre bilang magkapatid sa pananampalataya. We know of Luke's company with Paul from the book of Acts from the so-called we passages. Yung mga talata na kung saan ang ginamit na pronoun ay we. Ang ibig sabihin niyan, yung nagsulat ng aklat ng mga gawa ay sinasama niya ang kanyang sarili sa mga pagkakataon na ginagamit niya ang kami o tayo o kami ay nagpunta rito. The first of these passages is what we read in Acts 16. So that is the fact that Luke was the writer of the book of Acts. We know that. And now he is using four times in the book of Acts the so-called we passages. And then we know of Luke from the references of Paul to him in his letters, and we can say that Paul treasured the company of Luke, and Luke was the one with him, in fact, the only one with him, to the very end when he was a Roman prisoner. This is my message. Persevering company provides strength for mission and ministry. Ang pag nagtitiis na pagsama ay nagkakaloob ng lakas sa misyon at ministeryo. Persevering company provides strength for mission and ministry. The we passages of Acts tell us that Luke thought of himself as companion of Paul in his mission. Kasama siya ni Pablo sa kanyang misyon at ministeryo. On the other hand, the way Paul himself thought of Luke is that Luke has stuck it with him through thick and thin in Rome. So here is company in ministry that is the source of strength in times of affliction, in times of necessity. Paul found strength in the company and fellowship of Luke. And this is still the same need of mission and ministry in our day. And if you are to learn from Luke the way he provided company to Paul, in what way is that fellowship of company in ministry to be experienced in the church? Paano natin dapat maranasan ang pagsama sa ating misyon at ministeryo? In three ways, as we learn it from Luke. First, in the mandate of mission community. Sa mandato ng pagsasama sa misyon. In the mandate of mission community. Secondly, in the blessing of gospel opportunity, sa pagpapala ng mga pagkakataon sa ebanghelyo, in the blessing of gospel opportunity, and thirdly, in the sadness of Christian fragility, sa kalungkutan ng karupukan ng mga mananampalataya, in the sadness of Christian fragility, in such times, persevering company provides strength. First of all, in the mandate of mission community. In 16:5, Luke gives one of those summaries that the book of Acts is littered with. Luke would often summarize the result of mission. And there are six summaries of that in the book of Acts. And here is one. He said, the word of God grew and multiplied. Now, when you hear such a report, you would expect that what follows is very smooth sailing mission, because God has sealed it with blessing. But that, in fact, is not what happened. What happened next was the uncertainty of mission for Paul and his team. Hindi nila malaman kung saan sila pupunta. Nagtangka silang pumunta sa ganitong lugar. Hinadlangan ng Espiritu sa ganitong lugar. Wala ring pagbubukas ng pintuan. So instead of smooth sailing ministry, there is a period of uncertainty until Paul had a dream. And the conclusion becomes the first we of Luke. After a series of they, and then at the last instance, Paul dreamed a Macedonian calling, and then a corporate conclusion. Luke says, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. He owned the calling. He owned the direction as his own together with the team. This is not individual enterprise. Ang makikita natin dito ay ang pagsasama-sama nila na nagsang-ayon sila na ito ang misyon ng kanilang pangkat. And here we learn that confidence in God's mandate is the essential bond of community in ministry. If you will bond together in ministry, we must all own the mandate that God has given to us. It would be wrong to think of the people in Paul's missionary team as blind followers of the apostle. Remember, this would include Silas. Silas was introduced to us in Acts 15 as a prophet. And then you have Timothy. And then, of course, you have Luke. These are men of principles, men of conviction. The reason why they were with Paul is because they were convinced of the call that Paul represented, and they shared that calling. Kinaisa nila yung panawagan. Hindi lang ito mga taong sumusunod kay Pablo bilang apostol, kundi hinawakan nila ang panawagan na kinakatawan ni Pablo at ginawa rin nila itong sariling panawagan. It is their mandate. It is their ministry. It has become their mission. And this is how we are to think of the church and its ministries. The mandates, the mission of the church is our ministry, our mandate, our mission. The church is a community under God's call. And in fact, there is no other community like it. Other communities may be more famous, more powerful, definitely more wealthy, but there is no other community in the world that has the mandate of God for its mission. Wala nang ibang komunidad sa buong mundo na ang mandato ay ayon sa misyon na ibinigay ng Diyos. You may belong, and all of you belong to a community that has its own mandate and thrust. Perhaps it's a business. Perhaps it is science or academic or research or whatever it may be. And those are good mandates. But no other community in this world has for its mandate the mission of God. And therefore, let us dignify the church. Itaas natin ang pagtingin sa iglesia. Mababa man ito pagdating sa mga pag-aari kumpara sa mga nagyayaman ng mga samahan. Ngunit ang iglesia ang may mandato ng Diyos. And when we think of the church in that way, then that's the bond that should bring us together. Paul's team made a corporate decision of calling that comes from Macedonia. And it will lead to a very historic decision. They will cross the sea and it will bring them across to Europe. It will prove to be a history-making decision. And sometimes I cannot help but imagine what if the direction was as Paul planned. Kung titingnan nyo sa mapa, yung mga tinangka ni Pablo na puntahan, ang direksyon niya ay pa-Asia. Sa halip, tinawag siya sa Europa. Naiisip ko kung minsan, ano kaya't natuloy sila sa Asia at ang Asia ang unang naging Kristiyanong rehiyon sa mundo. We might be colonizing Europe instead of the other way around. But that is beside the point. The point here is that they agreed it was a team decision, it was a corporate mandate that they will go and cross the sea and they will land in Philippi. And what it calls upon members of the church is to share the acceptance of the call. We no longer determine the call by dream and vision. We determine it by scripture and conviction. But the bond is the same. The church is not bonded by a common schedule of activities and assemblies. This is not extracurricular activity. We have a mission in this world. And we need to be a company that together conclude that God called us. Already said that the Vietnam War is the only war that the U.S. lost. And one of the reasons is because during that war, there was so much division in American society. Hindi napaka-watak-watak ang lipunan noon. Walang pagkakaisa ang lipunan. And so despite the mighty weapons in the arsenal of America as against the puny weapons of guerrillas, they lost. Why? Because they had no will to endure. There was no bond. And if the church is going to have the will to go on in a mission that is like Mission Impossible, there must be the bond that God called us. So I challenge each one. Let us share that conviction together of God's calling in our ministries. Pag magkaisa tayo sa pananalig ng panawagan ng Diyos sa ating iglesia, sa ating mga ministeryo, one of the essential doctrines of the New Testament is the place of the local church in pursuit of God's mandates. We are not to pursue God's mandates on our own. We are to be in the company of the church. But a sad thing that can happen to a church is when it becomes defined as a one-man ministry. And it will be wrong to think of Paul's ministry as a one-man ministry. I understand it is natural for people to associate a church or ministry with the name of an individual. And I am realistic enough to understand that people sometimes associate GBC or GMA with my name. I don't care about that, but my concern is with the people who are themselves part of GBC and GMA, that they should have the spirit of Luke, who referred to himself and the missionary team as we, and us are calling, not someone's name. Luke was with Paul in the final we of the book of Acts. He was with Paul in the shipwreck that brought them to the island of Malta. The last we and us passage in Acts is sharing suffering, but ending with fruitfulness of ministry. And can I repeat, the ministry in the church is not designed for any one man or any one woman, any one person. It is to be a shared ministry. It is to be a we ministry. You often hear me use for illustration the mission of William Carey in India. He is the most illustrious name, but it would be wrong to think that he was all by himself. In fact, during his time, the mission team was known as the Serampore Trio. The place is Serampore, India. The trio were William Carey, and then there was William Ward, and there was Joshua Marshman. And they all worked together. And the fruitfulness so often associated with the name of William Carey really was a shared ministry. And that should be how we look at the church. It is a mission community. Ito ay komunidad. Ito ay pagsasama-sama. Hindi gawain ng sino mang nagsosolo. Hindi tatagal ang iglesia sa nagsosolong ministeryo. This is what we need to recover. Looks we. Looks us. Do you look at the church that way? We and us. And secondly, we see this company in the blessing of gospel opportunity. Makikita natin ang pagsasama niyon sa mga pagkakataon ng ebanghelyo, sa mga pagpapala. I cut short the reading of Acts 16, but what follows is the narrative of the conversion of Lydia. Lydia was the very first convert of Europe, and from Lydia, Christianity will grow by leaps and bounds in Europe to spread to the world. And there we see the fruitfulness of the ministry in this new place. Again, it's not because of one man, but because of company. And the company of ministry is meant to share the joy of fruitfulness. Yung pagsasama-sama sa ministeryo ay upang magsama-sama rin sa kagalakan ng pamumunga. The idea of happy company for many is rooted in fun, entertainment, revelry. But here you see, amidst the sufferings and struggles, there is joy. But it is a joy in the company of ministry. May kagalakan sila sa kabila na dumaan sila sa mga kapighatian, sapagkat nagsama-sama sila sa mga pamumunga ng ministeryo. That is the joy that we share in the church when we work together in our ministries and mandates. The fruits are the fruits of the church, not of any just one person. When we are a company in labor, when we are a company in service, we also must be a company in fruits. And that makes us a company in joy. The Holy Spirit distributed His gifts severally, not dominantly. No Christian is without a gift, but also no Christian has all the gifts. Precisely because we need each other. Bawat Kristiyano ay may kaloob. Walang Kristiyano na walang kaloob. Wala rin Kristiyano na nasa kanya na lahat ng kaloob. Sapagkat pinaaasa tayo sa isa't isa. We need each other. When opportunities are present for the gospel, we need that partnership. We need to look for company that will share the joy. The longest reigning royalty of England was Queen Victoria. Well, Queen Elizabeth II is hoping to break the record, but not yet. But one thing about Queen Victoria, the latter half of her reign was full of loneliness. She was hardly seen in public, and that's because she lost her partner, Prince Albert. And since then, there was no joy without the company of her spouse. Well, in the case of the ministry, it will also be lonely if it is born alone rather than in company. So I challenge us, share the joy of blessings in the ministry in company with brethren. Joy is not a grace that you possess alone. Joy is a grace meant to be shared. And when Paul wrote his letter to the Colossians, Luke was with him, and Paul too used the we in reference to his companions. So it wasn't just Luke using we. Paul used the we in reference to Luke. And Paul made certain that his references to his ministry is in terms of shared joy. We, listen to Colossians 1:3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, and He mentions the fruits of ministry. If you say you are a Christian, God requires that you should be in the local church, not on your own. And the reason why is not for restriction, the reason why is for sharing the joy, sharing the fruit, sharing the mandate. And if you are in the church, it is God's will that you share your ministry with others and share the joy of fruitfulness with others. One of the instruments God used for the resurgence of Reformed theology, first in Europe to America and even now here in the Philippines, is Ian Murray's Institution of the Banner of Truth. Ito ang naglimbag ng sunod-sunod ng mga aklat na may tema ng Reformasyon sa panahon na walang naglilimbag ng gayong mga aklat. And while the Banner of Truth is very much associated with Ian Murray, he's now more than 80 years old, but at its start, there were a company of people who did not have the luster of the name of Ian Murray, but they were a company, and they were among the instruments of the resurgence of truth. We need that company for fruitfulness. And then finally, in the sadness of Christian fragility, sa lungkot ng karupukan ng Kristiyano. Notice that in the greeting to the Colossians, Paul was still putting together the names of Luke and of Demas. He mentions them in conjunction. But in his very last letter, the second letter to Timothy, he makes this sad note: Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Iniwanan ako ni Demas. Minahal niya ang sanlibutan ito. And that would have been a very sad note, but for what follows, where Paul says, only Luke is with me. So he wasn't totally forsaken. Someone stuck it with him, the beloved physician. We learn here that persevering company is most tested in times of abandonment. Yung nagpapatuloy na pagsama ay nasusubok kapag nagkakaiwanan. Nangyari yan kay Pablo, nagkaiwanan. And abandonment is a fact of the Christian ministry. Expect it. For we are ministers, we are servants of the one who was most abandoned than anyone. Look at the abandonment of the cross. He was abandoned by friends, but most of all abandoned by God the Father in the instance that he was taking upon himself the sin of the world. Yan ang isipin mo. Wala kang ibang pag-asa na humarap sa Diyos at pati ikaw ay iiwanan sa pangwalang hanggan maliban na ang iyong tagapagligtas ay ang taong nasa krus na iniwanan ng Diyos upang kanyang dalhin ang kasalanan. And that's your only hope. Otherwise, you will be abandoned yourself in eternity. But because that is the Lord we are serving, expect abandonment. There are those who can only go to a certain extent of ministry but no more, and they will abandon. What could you conceive in Paul's description of Demas as having loved this present world? We need not assume that there was sin. It could be a business opportunity. It could be an investment he could not say no to. It could be pleasure or advancement or whatever it was. But because of that which attracted Demas, he abandoned Paul. Do you know that desertion during a battle in war is punishable by shooting to death? The commander can shoot a deserting soldier and he would have been doing something in line with his duty. We don't do that. We don't do that in Christian circles. But nonetheless, it only shows the gravity of desertion. Pag nagkaiwanan, samantalang nasa gitna ng paglalaban at pinili mo ang bagay na iiwan sa paglilingkod, mabigat na kasalanan ito. So the challenge is stick it out with a ministry through difficult times. That's what Luke did. And he would immortally be honored by those last words of Paul concerning Luke. Only Luke is with me. Words tinged with sadness, but on the other hand, words that inspire. 2 Timothy is a prison letter. And the final words of Paul. Paul will die in a matter of days after writing the second letter to Timothy. He was writing it in the company of the beloved physician. I'm sure he exercised his vocation as physician in service of Paul. But it was the company that mattered most. Luke must have learned the value of being a companion, even to an individual. Did you know that the biggest block of New Testament material are not the 13 letters of Paul? Word for word, the biggest block is the combination of Luke and Acts. Yung pinagsamang Lucas at mga gawa. This is the biggest block of the New Testament, more than Paul's letters. And in these two volumes by Luke, it was addressed to an individual, Theophilus. We don't know anything about Theophilus, but because Luke would stick it out with him, we have Luke and Acts, the Gospel of Luke and the history of the church in the book of Acts, because someone in the person of Luke wanted to stick it with Theophilus. And that's the kind of company the church still needs. People who stick, people who persevere. A.W. Pink, before there was the resurgence of Reformed theology, one of those lonely voices was A.W. Pink. Before there was the banner of truth, he was publishing studies in scriptures, very small circulation. That's why when Ian Murray wrote the biography of A.W. Pink, his fifth title was Voice in the Wilderness. That was A.W. Pink. But A.W. Pink was ably partnered by his wife, Vera Pink. It was Vera Pink who organized, typed, and acted as bookkeeper for A.W. Pink. And when A.W. Pink died, it was Vera Pink who continued the publication. And now A.W. Pink's writings are circulated in the thousands because of that able partnership. Someone who stuck it out. And brethren, that is what the church needs. The church needs the company of brethren with whom the ministry is we and us. Let us sing our last hymn, which is a good hymn of fellowship. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And may that be our perspective of the ministry. We are tied together, but tied together not by force, but by love. Blessed be the tie. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for the testimony of Luke as one who was a persevering companion to the Apostle Paul, and thus he gives us an encouragement, a lesson on how persevering company is still needed by ministry for mission in the church. It gives strength in times of uncertainty, in times of fragility, and we ask, Lord, that we may absorb that spirit of Luke that is able to look at the ministry and say, we, us, may we not be those who think of ministry as belonging to one man. May we not serve in ministry as something of a turf, but rather as a church. Grant that we may have that spirit of saying we and saying us when it comes to the service of our Lord and the pursuit of mission. In times that we pursue the mission, may it be to us a community. When we are blessed with gospel fruitfulness, may we call it our fruit by your grace. And when we face the specter of abandonment, may we stick it out with each other. And grant to the Lord that all this we will do because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be with us and make us a real persevering company in this church. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.